Good morning, church. Good morning. I am going to ask you to do two things. Number one, I'm going to ask you to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye out for street. And I'm going to ask you to serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. For you know that he is God, and it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. For we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Then I'm going to ask you to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Now, if that wasn't your psalm, if I didn't hit the verse that you like, I ask that you jump from 100 over to 34 and you say, I will bless the Lord. Continually his praises shall be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify him because he woke you up this morning. Oh, magnify him because he started you on your way. Oh, magnify him because you've got breath in your lungs and activity in your limbs. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Amen. Alfred Street, it is a humbling experience to stand before you on today. I want to give all honor and glory unto my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving me the privilege and the honor that it is to preach the gospel. I want to thank you all today for gathering in this place, because I'm pretty sure that on last night you heard and saw that Pastor Wesley was not preaching. You might have even streamed 7:30 a.m. service on the way to 9:30 and you saw he wasn't preaching. And you still showed up anyway for 9:30 when you knew likely Pastor Wesley wasn't preaching. So I thank you for being in this place this morning. And last but certainly not least, I would like to give all thanks to the brilliant, scholarly, God-loving, and people-serving angel of this house, our very own Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley, for this opportunity to preach in his absence this morning. I would also like to thank God for the continuous good teaching that we get every single service. I don't count that as just something given. So on this particular Mission Sunday, we are focusing on our children. Now, a few Sundays, if you recall, Pastor Wesley impressed upon us the importance and how he showed us time and time again throughout the course of the Bible how we are supposed to treat the widow, the orphan, and the stranger, also known as the foreigner and the immigrant. He impressed upon us, do you see her? And the importance of sharing with those that are seeking refuge at our borders, love, justice, and protection. But I admit to you on today that it saddens me that this even has to be a topic of conversation. That God has to remind us over and over again on how we are to treat our babies. Those that are neglected, abused, and abandoned, because they deserve our same love, security, justice, and protection, not only here in this nation, but all across the globe. So I dare to give you a word on this morning about how do we, in a world that feels so dark, stand up and be advocates for our children on this Youth Mission Sunday. So with that said, I ask that you please stand to your feet if you are able, and that you journey with me to the book of Philippians in the New Testament. The book of Philippians, chapter 2, starting at verse 12. When you have it, please say amen. I will be reading to you from the only version that God dictated, the King James Version. I'm in the pulpit right now. I can say it. I'm joking. That is such a huge joke. You know I'm kidding, especially all the biblical scholars out there, Dr. Judy. I'm joking. But I will be reading out of the KJV. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 12, and it reads, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain," lifting up the latter portion of verse 15. And it reads, "In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Now I'm going to ask you, saints, as our pastor normally does, tap your neighbor and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh neighbor,
this little light of mine,
I'm gonna
let it shine." Thank you. Thank you very much. You are already helping me preach. Let us pray. Dear most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather in this place today. Lord, we release this worship service. We release this sermonic message into your custody. Oh, Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So, there's a comedian, actor, and I would even go as far to say documentarian by the name of Sacha Baron Cohen. Oh, somebody might know who I'm talking about. So if that doesn't ring a bell for the other folks, then you might know it in a minute. So back in the early 2000s, he had an HBO show on that was like a mockumentary series, and it was called The Ali G Show. And he would dress up as this British rapper, and he had on a Hilfiger wave cap, he'd have on these yellow lenses, and he would somehow get heads of state, presidents, directors of this, UN that, WHO this. He would get so many prominent people to come into a room with him, and he would interview them and ask them the most craziest questions and have them do some of the craziest things when they knew that they were on TV, but they had no idea that they were being punked. So if you don't know him as that, he played as the arch nemesis of Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights. If you don't know him as that, he was the dictator. And lastly, if you don't know him as that, he was Borat. So now you might know who I'm talking about. So anyway, not too long ago, I had just finished binge watching the most recent season of Homeland on Showtime. And it's so crazy, the plots that the Homeland writers and directors come up with. I don't know if anyone saw it, but they came up with this crazy idea, which is clearly all rooted in fiction and no fact, that there was Russian interference and infiltration at the highest levels of government in an effort to undermine the presidency and take down democracy. I don't know where they get these crazy fiction, not fact, plot twists from. But anyway, that's not the point of my illustration. So I was finished watching Homeland, and then all of a sudden I see that Sacha Baron Cohen is at it again. He's got yet another documentary out, and it is called Who is America? In Red, White, and Blue. Once again, he sets up interviews with congresspersons, different politicians, different directors, and he starts off with a bang. Somebody might have seen it. Yes, amen. He starts off with a bang, dressed up as a GOP right winger who hates Obamacare, and he is interviewing none other than Senator Bernie Sanders. So, of course, Senator Sanders is articulate and respectful despite the crazy questions that he's getting. It's hilarious. So the interviews continue. He's got other characters. And the episode continues to be hilarious yet uncomfortable. And that's just the way that Sacha Baron Cohen does things. But then comes the last portion of the episode, and that is what blew my mind. This was the very first episode. He dresses up as an Israeli anti-terrorist, pro-gun expert. Someone is nodding their head. They have seen this. And he's able to get GOP politicians and lobbyists to go on camera saying that they support a program called Kinder Guardians. Now, of course, it's a fictitious program, but they don't know that. And so Sasha is dressed up as this pro-gun expert, and what he's doing is saying that he wants to arm special and talented children from the ages of 4 to 16 years old with guns to help prevent school shootings. And he's even integrated different types of guns into teddy bears in order to make these things more entertaining to children and appealing. I kid you not. And there are certain current and former GOP politicians and the current president of a Virginia-based pro-gun lobbying group that were willing to go on camera, and I want to make sure I get it right. We are here to help you show you how Puppy Pistol and Gunny Rabbit can stop naughty men and help them take a long nap. The only thing that will stop a bad man with a gun is a good kid with a gun. Happy shooting, kids. I was mortified. My heart broke at that moment. The innocence of our children is under attack, and there are elected officials that are more willing to allow kids to lay down their lives than stand up and be decent human beings and change this nation's laws. So the name of the show asks, who is America? And I contend that Donald Glover, aka Childish Gambino, answered this question in his provocative song and video, who is America? This is America, or at least it is in part. We've got children marching on Washington for gun reform because adults refused to be the light. We've got Nora Hussein of Sudan who was facing death by hanging because she defended herself from being raped by her husband 2 times her age because adults refused to be the light. We have almost 3,000 children that were separated out at our borders because adults refused to be the lights. We have young Afghani boys being sold into sexual slavery and becoming child soldiers because adults refused to be the light. And last but certainly not least, we've got unarmed black and brown young boys being executed in the streets because adults refused to be the light. And as Dr. Judy always says, what's at stake? And I contend that our children's lives are at stake. Children's lives matter. For Jesus said, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But for whoever causes one of these little ones hurt, might as well hung a millstone around his neck. See that you do not despise any one of these little ones. For I say to you that there are angels in heaven who are constantly in the face of my Father. It should be our mission to stand up for our children in the midst of crooked and perverse situations. So I aim to answer one question on this morning. How do we shine as beacons of light for children in our world when so much darkness befalls them? And I contend that there are a few instructions that God has deposited in our hearing and in our reading in this Pauline pericope to answer this very question. So I contend that there are three things that can equip us to be on this mission on Mission Sunday. Amen? All right, so the first thing that I believe God instructs us to do in order to let our light shine is to work out. So, as Pastor always says, I'm not here to make you think what I think, but hopefully I can inspire you to think, and as a result, act. This portion of the text here, found in verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, is often said and often misunderstood. So what does it mean to really work out your own salvation? Because anyone that's been a Christian long enough knows that it's not your own works that can save you. And I paraphrase, for we are saved by grace through faith. It is not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord is imparting upon us right now that he wants us to exercise our faith, that when you become a Christian, the real work begins then. Ask any married couple. There's a whole lot of work on the other side of saying, I do. Ask any parent. There's a whole lot more to raising a child than just physically bringing them into the world. To the Greeks in the room, you know that when you pledge, not that I condone any sort of hazing, my sorority has a zero tolerance policy, ski we my sorors. But for those of you that might have been through a process, the real pledging begins when you get into the chapter. And to all the fire baptized, sanctified saints of Alfred Street in this sanctuary, how many can testify that the real work begins when you start on this Christian faith walk? Amen? Amen. Now let's remember that Paul is penning this Philippian epistle while in a Roman prison. So if anybody understands what it means to work out, it's Paul. Scholars also tell us that the word you mentioned in this epistle is plural, not singular. So Paul is writing to the entire church of Philippi, not just one individual. So for my suntan folks in the room, what Paul is saying right now is y'all need to work out y'all salvation with fear and trembling. Y'all, the collective body of Christ. So what else does the language illuminate here? So the Greek translation for the phrase work out is katergazomai. Please say it with me, katergazomai. And it's an imperative verb indicating that it is an action that is imperative and does not leave room for question or discussion. And it means to fully work, to accomplish, to render one fit for a thing. So then what does salvation read here in the Greek? It reads as soteria. Please say soteria. Soteria. Soteria meaning deliverance. So if katergazomai means to render someone fit for a thing, and soteria means deliverance, the Lord is saying, I need a people that are fit for deliverance. I need a people that are willing to exercise their faith in order to be spiritually fit for the deliverance work that this world so desperately needs. Because just as Paul said a few verses before, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, what happens when you work out? And you may be wondering, how is this relevant to being a light in the world for our children? And I have an answer. Scientists have identified specific mechanisms as to why exercise has a protective effect against cardiovascular disease. They found that exercise induces and increases cardiomyocyte growth and renewal. Cardiomyocytes being heart muscle cells. So exercise increases heart muscle cells so that they can grow and renew and grow, inducing stem cells to proliferate, migrate, and differentiate, giving rise to mature cells that are capable of protecting the heart against damage, injury, and disease, thus allowing angiogenesis to occur, the process by which new blood flow is able to form, to assist with healing, where new blood vessels are formed. So what I'm saying to you, saints, is that working out your salvation, exercising your faith, will increase spiritual muscle cell growth and renewal, inducing your faith to proliferate, migrate out into the world, and differentiate into mature faith that is capable of protecting our children against damage, injury, and disease, thus allowing angiogenesis to occur, the process by which the blood of Jesus has new pathways to flow in their lives to assist with healing. Exercise your faith, saints. Because we live in a time where young people are getting the cops called on them for playing while black, swimming while black, entrepreneuring while black, selling hot dogs, water, and mowing lawns while black, playing while black, going to school while black, sitting in Starbucks while black. And this is a time where adults need to be reminded that 911 is only for emergencies and it is not for your insecurities. So even if you have fallen off and you haven't been to the gym in a while, meaning you haven't been to church in a while, you haven't had a church home, you haven't been working in ministry for a while, God is saying that I need you to work out your spirit, man, so that when life comes at you fast and the treadmill of life goes up from 6 to 8 to 10, I need a people with some muscle memory. I need some muscle memory saints that don't get tired when the going gets tough and that don't quit when the going gets rough. I need some tough mutter saints. Because the true evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, as our pastor says, is not based on your worship or how many tongues you pray in. It's based on the empowerment that you have to engage in the very real earthly evils that are going on all around us. So God says, work out your faith, your salvation, in fear and trembling, in reverence and in respect of me, so that you can let your light shine in this world. So we know that he wants us to work out. So what's the second instruction that God has in order to let our light shine? Tell me this, when you're at the gym and you see workout clothes and you see a swoosh sign, what brand do you think of? There we go. So when you see the swoosh sign and you see Nike, what's the motto or the saying or the slogan that you think of? Y'all already helping me preach yet again. Just do it, saints. I came by here to tell you that the second instruction is just to do it. And I know that I'm in Bible territory because it says it right here in the text, starting at verse 14, and it says do. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. That one thing is serious. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, without grumbling, complaining, and grudging. Disputings without debate, without hesitation, and without doubt. So if I can interject my theological imagination right here, Jesus is saying, just do it and stop grumbling and complaining with me and with each other. Would you just do it and not complain? Would you just do it and not argue with me about it? Would you just do it and not argue with Reverend so-and-so about how they're running the ministry? Would you just do it and not fight with the underpaid and underappreciated folks at the nonprofit that you feel led to volunteer at? Because if we're constantly at war with each other, how can we be the light that exposes and identifies darkness? I know that there may be some people in the sanctuary and some of those that are streaming online right now where God is stretching you to do things that you never imagined. So let me ask you a question. Is there something that God has told you to do that you keep procrastinating and hesitating on? Have you heard him knock on the door of your heart to say yes to him, but you haven't believed in him yet? Have you heard him say that Alfred Street is your church home, but you haven't walked down this central aisle yet? Have you heard him say that you've been in one ministry long enough and it's time for you to move on to your next? Have you heard him say that Awana, Kid Street, Higher Ground needs you? Because brothers, we need you over in Higher Ground. Amen. Have you heard him say it's time to move to a new job, new city, new field? Have you heard him say it's time for you to run for office, to be a mentor to a young boy or girl, to donate to an organization, or to even teach in an inner city school and serve as a role model? Because we can no longer allow music artists to be the ones that are most influential on our kids. We can no longer let 21 Savage, Kodak Black, Lil Pump and his Gucci Gang, Rich the Kid, Lil Uzi Vert and them be the ones that have the most direct access to our kids. And I know I was just speaking a different language right now to some of you, but those are the ones that's the language that our kids speak. Change the narrative. So just do it if he's instructed you to do something, because you want to be in the right position at the appointed time so that God can use you and all the gifts that he has endowed you with to be a light. So I don't know if you could tell from the first point of the sermon, but I do believe in the complementarity of science and faith. And I ask that you might indulge me just one more time. So if you think about this, I was watching yet another documentary. I guess I tend to watch documentaries. And it was named Cosmos, and it's on Netflix, and it's narrated by none other than Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, who is a black astrophysicist. He talks about the age of the universe, age of the Earth, and the billions of galaxies that exist. The Cosmos documentary discussed how the Earth rotates at a 23.5 degree angle at 1,000 miles per hour. And he explained the day and night cycle with the sun and the moon. So this Cosmos documentary got me thinking, how is light translated in this context? And light in this context is translated none other than the cosmos, representing celestial luminary bodies like the sun and the moon. So depending on your location in the earth, you may be on the side of the earth that has rotated away from the sun, so therefore day turns to night, and then the moon becomes visible to shine light in the dark. And the only reason that the moon is able to shine light on the earth when it's dark is because the moon reflects the light of the sun. And there might be some people in here that still think I'm talking about the sun in the sky, but have already transitioned to the sun in heaven. Just as the moon reflects the light of the sun in order to shine light in darkness, when the earth has rotated away from the sun, is plunged into darkness, God is calling us to be like the moon and reflect the light of the sun when the world has turned away from God and is plunged into darkness. Lift up holy hands if you know that the heavens do declare the glory of God. So just do it, Alfred Street, and be the light and reflect the light that our children need. So I'm almost out your way. We have to work out. We have to just do it. And the very last and final instruction can be found in verse 16, where it says, holding forth the word of life. Saints, you've got to hold on. Somebody say, hold on.
Hold on.
So, a couple of Sundays ago, didn't we have such a fun time fellowshipping at Six Flags together? Had such a wonderful time. So, my best friend and my two nieces were with me, Jordan and Jamie. Jordan is 6, Jamie's about to be 4. So, we're heading on over to Looney Tunes Town, and the girls want to get on a roller coaster, and Auntie is there to take them. So, we're getting into the roller coaster car, and the operator is coming around and putting the harnesses on everybody. And they put it on over our heads, and Jamie asked me what it was for, and I said, oh, the harness is there to hold on to you to make sure that you're safe and secure. Then she saw that there was also a metal bar that was placed in front of our laps. And she asked, well, Auntie, if we have the harness, what do we need this metal bar for? And I said, baby, that harness is there to hold on to you, but sometimes you need a bar that you can hold on to. So church, I don't know if you missed it, but that was your shout cue. Sometimes you need something to be able to hold on to, because all you have the strength to do is hold on. Hold on. Dr. Judy, you were right when you said that the harness of the Holy Spirit is there to hold us when we are on the roller coaster of life. And I believe that God has also placed some bars, also known as the Word of God, all around us for when the storms come. So tell your neighbor to hold on. Hold on to the bar that says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. In whom shall I fear? Hold on to the bar that says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hold on to the bar that says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hold on to the bar that says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So I guess I haven't gotten to your bar just yet. My bar may be, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And your bar may be, in him was life, and life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. My bar may be, no weapons formed against thee shall prosper. And your bar may be, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So hold on. hold, saints, to Jesus just a little while longer. And then you'll be able to be the light in the life of a child that desperately needs it. So saints, you gotta work out. Saints, you've got to just do it. Saints, you've got to hold on. And then you can shine as a beacon of light in this world. Because children in Nigeria, Brazil, India, and Syria fighting against poverty and hunger need it. Children on the south side of Chicago, where I'm from, fighting against violence and broken homes need it. Children on the southeast side of DC fighting against depression and homelessness need it. Children out on Alfred Street, children all up in Alfred Street, children in your own street and in your own home need it. So I'm out your way, Alfred Street. All I ask is that you say, out there in the world, I'm gonna let it shine. Out there in the dark, I'm gonna let it shine. All up in my house, I'm gonna let it shine. Why? Because Jesus gave it to me, and I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen.